Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Hebrews, and I got it on the screen for you as well, but Hebrews chapter 11, if you could go there, starting at verse 29. Okay? Got it on your mobile app. This is where we're going to camp out today, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through a little bit. Here we go. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Are you following this? Listen to this. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. He's talking about people in this past here, before him, okay? They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Apart from us. Listen, then, therefore, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these people he just talked about, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Here ends God's word and his reading to us. Man, what do you think about that? That's where we're going to spend some time. You know, the past, you're catching us today. You're catching us at the end of our series that we're calling The Dwelling Defined. If it's your first time here, you've missed like four different weeks leading up to kind of today. But what's cool is today's kind of this all-encompassing day, and so you kind of get a little chance to hear what's up. So what we've been talking about is really our church's mission and vision. And really the Christian walk. Okay, that's kind of what I've been trying to make a case for. And so the first week we talked about just the dwelling. And we talked about our name. What does it mean for God to come? Not seeing the dwelling as a noun as much as a verb. God coming to dwell with his people. A theme throughout Scripture from beginning to end. And middle. I mean, it's just all over. God coming to be with his people. To dwell with his people. The dwelling. Then we talked about our mission, disconnected to disciple, okay? That's what we want to be a church about. And we talked about how each of us have been disconnected because of sin. And we talked about Jesus coming. Remember the story of Matthew? Jesus comes up to the tax collector and says, Matthew, come follow me. Follow me. An invitation for each of us, even in our disconnectedness, an invitation to be a disciple and follower of Jesus. We talked about what does that mean and what does that look like. And then we asked the question, well, what's our strategy as a church? What's kind of going to be our strategy for making this happen? And we basically have been unpacking these past 2 weeks the term gather, gathering and going. This is God's ancient rhythm. The people of God, this is their rhythm. To gather together, to see other people as important, and then to go. where we live, work, worship, and play. Taking God's word with us, not only in our hearts, but on our lips and our heart, taking it with us into every aspect of our life. See, what we've been trying to talk about is we've been trying to talk about how our Christian faith, being a Christian, is not just 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It's all encompassing. Every aspect of our life is wrapped up in this. And we talked about gathering in our own home around God's word and prayer, doing devotions. I challenged parents and grandparents to be regularly in God's word with their kids. And we try to provide you with Bible reading plans and Bibles in the back and mobile apps. And we try to provide you with some resources to try to help you with that. When we see gathering in God's house is so important, as we gather around the sacraments, as we gather and we see people get baptized, and we witness funerals and weddings, and God's people doing life together. And we talked about how important small groups are, and we've been trying to push you into these small groups, and we're going to try to make that even more clear on how that can happen for you in the upcoming weeks. But then to go and take this word and go out and live it out, not just say it, right? And we unpacked what that means. Here's the question for today. Here's the question for today to kind of wrap up our whole series. How long? How long? Seth, you're saying this stuff to me. That's cool. It's good stuff. Okay, cool. I like it. Okay. How long? Would you like me to walk this baby out? Like, do you want me to give you like a year on this? You know, do you want me to just kind of like give like every, you know, a 2 year, do you want me to give a couple months to this? Like, I like your church is cool, our church, we're doing some cool stuff. Oh, kind of fun. Yeah, I could give to this a little bit. How long? I want to say a prayer to kind of kick off our message, because you think I've already kicked off the message, but I haven't. I want to say a prayer, and I want to answer that question. How long? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, right now, open up our hearts. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds to receiving what you want to say to us. God, let this now just be you and less of me. May you receive glory in this. Change our hearts, change our lives. Reveal to us this answer. How long? Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here's what's up. I hate running, but how much do I hate to run? How much do I hate to run? I hate running more than I hate wildfires. Here's what's up. Years ago, I was a camp counselor at a camp out in Idaho. Me and this guy, Ben was another fellow counselor. We had a group of middle school teens out in the middle of nowhere, all right? Middle of nowhere. I mean, this camp was a base camp of a main camp, and that camp was like an hour away. And then once you get to this camp, we were even like another mile back camping in the national forest with these kids, me and Ben. And Ben was this runner guy. Ben was one of these guys he's a cross-country runner. He loved to run. He was like, he was even dabbling with some Olympic thinking and stuff. And I mean, he was just legit. You know what I mean? One of those just legit dudes. And me and Ben are way out in the boonies, and we're way back there. Well, one night, we start this fire. We start this monster fire. Because we're like, these kids are going to have a great experience. So we have this roaring fire going, right? And this fire is just huge. Huge. And all of a sudden, I just stop, and I just look around at millions of acres of land that hasn't been rained on for like months. And I'm literally just looking around at these beautiful mountains, right? And these millions of acres of dry pine. And I'm just, in my brain, I'm like, this is a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? This is so bad. But it's interesting, because as soon as I thought this is so bad, I had this other thought. And instead of thinking about like the billions of dollars that I'm going to have to pay for this national forest fire that's about to happen, instead of thinking about that, my first thought that I had was, at least we have Ben who can run back to camp to get help, and I won't have to do it. That's what I was thinking. Like, that was my thought. I was like, there's a river right there. I'm going to take the kids. We're going to go jump into the water. And then we're going to send Ben to run back to get help. That was my plan. But I was so happy. There was a sense, even though billions of dollars I was going to have to spend out of my own pocket, I was so happy that I wasn't the one that was going to have to bust back to camp to run. That's how much I hate running. I hate running that much. Thanks, Ms. Linda, for the little laugh, because I knew like one person was going to get it. But how much do you hate running? You know, we just hate this. And there's a couple of you that love to run, and you annoy us. Okay, yeah, I get it. And I'm married to one of those. Okay, I get it. You annoy the rest of us, but most of us are just like we're not like wanting to run, right? And yet here in our text for today, the author to Hebrews says the Christian life looks like a race. It looks like running. What does that mean? What does that look like for the Christian walk, the Christian life to be running? Look at that. Look at that in Hebrews there, chapter 12. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run. 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 As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, this is a run that's not just for the buck 40, steel abs, non-smoker, non-Taco Bell eater, okay? This is really a race that we are all called to. This is a run that each and every one of us can be part of. It's the race of faith. It's the race of faith, and I have that as kind of one of my points up here. It's the race of faith. And you and I are get to be part of it. You could be 90 years old. You could be a parent. You could be single. You could be a little kid. You could be a grandparent. You could be a little baby. This race of faith we are all called to. We don't have to look a certain way. We don't have to be the perfect physique and be okay. No. We get to all be part of this. And as I was thinking about it today, I was like, what is the author saying here? He's saying, just run. Just run. Run until you're done. Run until you're done. There's your tweetable moment. Run until you're done. Keep running. What should I do next? Run. Keep running. Just run. Run until you're done. Run until you're done. Just keep running. Just keep running. I'm not going to lie. If this right here annoys you right now, you're going to be really annoyed for the next little bit. Because we're going to pretty much watch this guy run. Just run. What should I do next? Run. See, we don't like running, do we? We don't like running because when we think of running, we think of side aches. Right? We think of side aches. We think of sweat. We think of the hot day out. We hate the hot day. We think of the raining day because it's never a perfect day to run, right? It's never perfect. We think of the blisters on our feet. We think of the heart attack, and not the heart attack we're going to have because we don't run, the heart attack we're going to have when we run. You know, the little shooting pain up the left arm kind of thing. We think about these kinds of things. We hate to run. We don't want to run because running, there's so much exertion that takes place. There's work that takes place. It's, I got to run. It's, oh, do I really want to? How has this happened that your mind has begun to believe this idea that the Christian life is you sitting on a porch, okay? You sitting on a porch drinking a beer. Not listen. listen, I'm not saying this, like, okay, I'm fine, that's fine, drink a beer, that's fine, sit back, kick back, relax. I'm not saying this is bad in and of itself, but that we would turn the Christian life into this, that this is what it looks like to be a Christian? No, I'm not saying, like, I've looked like that before. That's not bad. I'm saying that as what it's all about? That it's just kind of easy, that we just kind of show up and do our little Sunday morning thing, which is great. We want you here. That's it? That's what it looks like? I don't have to love anybody? We talked about that a bunch last week. I don't have to like anybody? Maybe I kind of love people, but I don't have to like anybody. Well, how has this turned into the Christian walk? Where we start to become fake. We don't ever share real stories. Lyle, you can go ahead and move forward too. Where we don't ever reveal stories. We don't ever reveal pains. We don't ever reveal addictions. When we're asked, how you doing? It's always good. We're always doing good. Life is always okay. We don't have to sweat. It's no hardships. There's no grind. Really? I think the author of Hebrews is challenging us a little bit because Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul, and we don't have it on the screen, but Ephesians 6 says what? The Christian life is like a battle. He says, you got to put on armor. You got to put on, get your sword, get your helmet on. This is an all-out battle. See, not only will you sweat, you're going to bleed. You're going to bleed. This is hard. There's difficulties. There's challenges. What does he say here? What does he say? Throw off. Look at the verse. Throw off the weight. Throw off the sin that so quickly entangles you and ties you up. Throw it off. Get rid of it. What is this weight? You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what is the weight that so often we experience in this world? Man, it could be so many things. It could be so many things. Our world is throwing at us stuff all the time, right? I mean, it throws at us, our culture throws at us stuff constantly where we engage with maybe teachings that are just like, no, that's not true. You know, our world throws at us a teaching something like this is it, this is what it's about. Eat, drink, be merry. You got 60, 70, 80, 90 years and that's kind of it, so just kind of live it up. Consume more. Just take more, accumulate more. See, our world throws at us stuff like that. Living in this world throws at us different things that just, it can become, we start to think stuff about God, don't we? God is ticked off because of what I've done in my past. So God is this angry God who's coming after me. Or maybe we're taught to not have to really love our neighbor or not to really have to forgive the people around us. See, our culture, our world starts teaching us stuff. But what does the scripture, what does it say here? We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What does that mean? What is he saying there? He's saying, you aren't the first to go through this. You're not the first to go through this. That's all you have to do is go look at chapter 11 and you'll see these other people who've had to interact with the world. The world has thrown stuff at Abraham. Abraham, there's no way you're going to have that many kids. And if you don't, you know, if you're not kind of, you don't know what I'm talking about, well, Abraham was promised some things and Abraham's old. He's not going to be able to have more kids. Stuff is thrown at Joseph as he's sold into slavery by his brothers. You got to go read these, okay? I didn't read all of them. I just read a couple. Stuff is thrown at Rahab the prostitute. And there's no way God can love you. Look at what you've done in your life. Stuff is thrown at David as David. David is one of these guys in chapter 11. David's this little guy, a little dude. He's going to go fight the giant. There's literally a giant that's thrown at him in his life. Gideon, you don't have enough money. You don't have enough influence. You're not going to be anything special. We're not the first to go through the race of faith. We're not the first to go through this. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, but there's constantly stuff that comes at us to slow us down. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians. Go look at this. Check this out. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You are running well. He's talking to the church in Galatia here. You are running well, but who hindered you from obeying this truth? Who stepped in on you? Who's slowing you down? You were running such a good race. You were running the race of faith so well. This isn't from God. This is from something else. And that's what I'd ask you today. What's slowing you down? What is so clinging to you? What has you wrapped up around the ankle that's just kind of making it so you're like, you know what? That was a pretty good race, but I think I'm just going to, you know, sit the next mile out. Catch them on the way back. What is that today for you? What is slowing you down? Can you identify it? I'm actually asking you to work a little bit here. Can you identify something that might be slowing, something that might be sidetracking you? You were running a pretty good race, and then something stepped in. Who hindered you? Who's coming in? What teaching is coming in? What kind of thinking is coming in? What kind of thought process or what kind of suffering are you enduring or something that maybe is coming in that's beginning to get you to question, maybe I just shouldn't run this race anymore. See, and it doesn't just come from the world. A second thing that the author to Hebrews says is, get rid of the weight. Okay, get rid of the weight. And literally, this is what they would do. They'd literally run naked. They would literally run in the nude. Back in this time, when they're going for a little race, they're just like, you know, running in the nude. My community would not let that happen. Although that does sound kind of awesome. But, yeah, a couple of you are laughing who have treadmills, and it's, yeah, I get it. It makes me nervous. Throw off everything that would slow you down. But then what does it say? And not only the weight, but the sin. See, not only do things come from outside in, but there's also stuff that's inside that comes out of us. What are those things inside of our hearts that would slow us down? What are things like, man, I don't want to forgive my relative. What are the things in our heart that's like, I hate that person? Really? You hate that person? See, we do. We hate people. There's people in this room who hate people. Are you kidding me? Yes. We hate people. What are the things in our heart that come out that are of lust? Addictions to pornography. It could be all sorts of different things can come out. Anger. Addictions. Stuff that's coming out of us. But look at this. Look at this. This is where we start to think in our brains. We start to think, well, this is really where we part ways from those champions of the faith in chapter 11. Are you kidding me? We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Did you see? Have you ever read these guys? You ever read about David? Who gets somebody murdered? He has a guy killed. Takes his wife. Have you ever read about Moses who murdered a guy? It's constantly just frustrated. Have you ever read about Rahab the prostitute? You ever read about her? She's in here. She's in the back. Or the front. Nice. Have you ever read about somebody? Yeah, thank you. The murderers, the cheaters, the liars, the doubters, the prostitutes. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. See, the author of Hebrews is beginning to reveal something to us. He's beginning to reveal to us. These aren't. It's not because these people in their works are so great. No, in themselves and what they're doing, their lives look pretty rough. And actually, they look a whole lot like ours. What's amazing is their God-given faith. And the rest of it, we got to drop it. I can still remember when I was a kid and like when I was playing church fast pitch. When Seth Kunze would come around second base, oftentimes from the dugout, I would hear, "Pick up the plow!" You ever hear that? You ever hear that one? Us slow people, we've heard it. Fast people don't hear it. Pick up the plow. What does that mean? Pick up the plow means you're dragging. You're not running fast. Okay? And I'm going around second base as fast as I can, and everybody's, "Pick up the plow, Kunze!" Okay, you know, I'm just huffing and puffing. And what is that? What does that look like? To drop the weight, to get rid of the plot, to get rid of everything that might be holding us back, anything that might be keeping us from running the race. Just run until you're done. Run until you're done. Just run until you're done. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. What do we do? What do we do? I memorized this in the NIV, it's focus, but here in the ESV, it's looking to. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author or the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You don't have to click through it quite yet, Lyle. But listen. Looking to Jesus, as we begin to drop the weight, as we begin to push the sin aside, and we keep focused in on Jesus. You know, when you're running a race, you know, oftentimes you're focused on something, right? He's saying here, look to Jesus. The author, the founder of your faith, the perfecter of your faith. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I asked permission from one of you in the room, even right now, who said that years ago, they had been part of a great church, and they had so focused on the people in the church. They had so focused on, man, and they literally got to a point where they were saying, "I want to be that person." Now, there's nothing wrong with having mentors and people that we look up to, and that's nothing wrong with that. But they had so focused on these people that they'd actually lost sight of Jesus. It was a pivotal moment in this person's life. And I ask you, are there even people that you're focusing on over Jesus? Family, friends, people we love, care about. Oh, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But that we would actually lose sight of our God. Focusing in on Jesus, the author, the perfecter. Look at what it says there. Jesus, who, that to me is so powerful. Because the fact that our faith that we have has been given to us by God, and it's Him that keeps that safe. There is so much peace in that, folks. God is the one who authors it. God is the one who perfects this faith. And see, this is where the text begins to turn a little bit. Because where are we to look? Where are we to look? Jesus, Sunday school answer. Baby Jesus. Good. Okay. Jesus is where we're to look. Let me ask you this question. In this text, where is Jesus? Where's Jesus? Yeah, well, no, somebody say it. At the right hand. He's and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Where's Jesus? Now that's kind of interesting. Jesus is sitting down? Jesus is sitting down? What's up with that? He's already run the race. Jesus has run the race that was marked out from the Father. Jesus came. He threw off Satan. Follow me here. Follow me here. He throws off Satan and temptation. He throws it off. All the temptation that Satan threw at him, no. He goes to the cross. He goes to the cross, and what does he do? What happens at the cross? He gets stripped naked. Everything gets taken off. He gets a crown of thorns jammed onto his head. He doesn't just sweat, he bleeds. He doesn't just sweat, he bleeds. And the second person of the Trinity, God in flesh, dies. He dies. He dies. And then what happens? He takes your sin on the cross. He's taking your sin upon himself, becoming sin, becoming our sin. And he dies. And then 3 days later, he rises again from the dead to new life, defeating even death itself. And he ascends into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We just said that, right? And now he's seated at the right hand of God. See, what does that mean for us? This is what it means. Let me tell you what it means. It means this. It means that as you are running the race of faith, you have a true, unbelievable, unexplainable, in some ways, hope that you will finish the race. You will finish. You will finish. How? I don't know if I'll be able to finish. I don't know. Well, who's authored your faith? God. Who's perfecting your faith? God. Yeah, but what if I start to sweat? What if stuff starts to come at me and I start to bleed? We look to the one who's already finished. Who's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, victory, folks, is already ours. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7. See, we know we crossed the finish line. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul. He says this. And this is his last letter he writes. He knows he's gonna getting close to death. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. I fought, and I fought, and I fought, and I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept the faith because God was keeping that faith for me, and he was perfecting that faith in me, and I kept it, and I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept running until I'm done. I kept running. I kept running. Who's cutting in on you today? What's slowing you down? Throw it off. Throw it off. Run. Run. How long, Seth? How long do you want me to run? How long do we gather and we go and we gather and we go and we try to make this? How long do we do this? See, to kind of close this off, this is how it's going to roll, folks. As you enter, as you come towards the finish line, the end of the race of faith, as you come to the finish line, the end of the race, where you die, as you begin to head towards that puppy, And as soon as you cross that finish line, what happens is you're met by Jesus. And here's what he doesn't say to you. He doesn't say to you, "Awesome job. You get 552nd place. Great job, Seth. You get 1,237th place." That's not what happens. We're met by Jesus who says, you won. The victory's yours. You get first place. See, that's what Christ did for us on the cross, in his resurrection. He won for us the victory, folks. He won for us the victory. And if you die, when you cross that finish line, or when Jesus returns, whichever comes first, the crossing of that finish line will be victory. It'll be victory. And that's already ours because he's sitting on the other side of the finish line already. Keep running. Keep running. Run till you're done. How long? Till you're done. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, there are so many things in this room that are cutting in on us. Stuff in our own heart that's cutting in on us. Stuff from this world that's being thrown at us. It's slowing us down. It's weighting us down. It's sitting us down. God, forgive us for where we have turned the Christian life into sitting back and just drinking a beer. That's all it is. God, it's a run. There's sweat involved. There's blisters on our feet. Some of us are bleeding. Some of us are hurting. Gosh, I got a broken leg. I got a broken leg. How can I run this race? Jesus, I thank you for the faith that you have given to us, that we receive from you. And the word promises that word, that grace, that faith that you give to us, and you give it to us and you promise to continue to even perfect it. Wow. Jesus, give us the strength to keep running the race. Thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. Thank you that you're already seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thank you that you've already won the victory for us. Victory is already ours. And God, let that radically change the way we live life. Let it radically shift the way we run this race. God, we're so excited to cross the finish line. Hear those words, "Well done. Well done. Well done, man. Nice work. First place right here, baby. Victory. We receive the crown of life. We receive the wreath of that's imperishable." We don't run for something that's perishable. We run for something that's imperishable. God, thank you for that. But God, man, we need your strength because we are facing some stuff today. We need your strength, God. And we draw upon your grace as we gather around your word and the sacraments, as we gather as a people to provide for each other's needs, to carry each other's burdens, as we go, letting other people know about this. God, how long do you want us to do this? Just keep running the race. God, give us the strength to do just that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.